This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Thursday, May 9th, 2013. Yesterday was the final day of the state's 2013 legislative session. As the Denver Post reports, it was one of the busiest sessions ever. Dominating the final days of the session was the historic passage of laws regulating recreational marijuana within the state. Other bills focused on income tax credits, oil and gas measures, and child welfare reform. On Monday, 113 bills remained in play. By Tuesday afternoon, it had been winnowed down to 39, and by Wednesday, a majority of the bills received a yes or no vote, though some were laid over until after the session, a move that essentially spikes the measures. We've reported on gun control and marijuana legislation fairly extensively. Here's a look at just a couple of bills that were on the agenda this week. This list is by no means complete. On immigration, Senate Bill 251 passed. It allows immigrants in the country illegally to apply for a new category of driver's license. It gives the state until August 2014 to design a new card for this category of drivers. On oil and gas issues, House Bill 1267 failed. It would have raised fines for violations of the state's oil and gas rules. It died on the calendar after the sponsors were unsuccessful in getting the Senate to accept a requirement for a minimum mandatory fine for serious violations. Also, House Bill 1269 failed. It would have changed the charter of the state's Oil and Gas Commission, removing from its mandate the idea of fostering oil and gas development, so it would focus on health and safety, and it would have barred commissioners from jobs paid by the industry. House Bill 1278 passed. It lowers the level at which an oil and gas spill has to be reported from 5 barrels to 1 barrel. It also requires notifying state and local emergency agencies within 24 hours. The Greeley Tribune reports that more than 130 Greeley residents poured into one of the largest public hearings the city has seen to appeal a decision by the Greeley Planning Commission that would allow Mineral Resources Incorporated to drill up to 16 wells near the intersection of 59th Avenue and 10th Street. Following hours of contentious public comment, council members unanimously upheld the decision at 11 p.m. Residents who live in the Fox Run subdivision across the street from the proposed site said drilling is not compatible with the residential and recreational nature of the area. They said they are most concerned that the health and environmental effects of drilling have not been sufficiently studied and that locating a drilling site so close to their homes is taking a risk. Only 7 residents spoke in favor of the drilling project, pointing to the economic benefit of the oil and gas industry in Greeley and saying there is no confirmed correlation between drilling and adverse health effects. Logan Richardson, vice president of Mineral Resources, said the company will contract a third party to do a noise mitigation study, implement green completion techniques that are above state and federal standards, construct a fence surrounding the site, plant more than 60 trees at the request of one resident, use low-profile tanks and pipe water directly from hydrants to reduce traffic, among other mitigation efforts, all at an additional cost to the company. The Denver Post reports that preliminary results from the state's standardized test show stagnant reading performance for Colorado third graders, a trend officials say must be changed. About 73% of the state's 63,000-plus third graders met or exceeded the state standards on the Transitional Colorado Assessment Program, known as TCAP. The number is down a little less than 1 percentage point from last year. But to put it another way, the preliminary results show that 1 out of every 4 third graders is failing the state's standardized reading test. Last year, Colorado passed the READ Act, a law that was designed to improve early literacy rates through more intervention and additional funding. The law will be implemented next school year. Tuesday's release of preliminary results points to a significant reading gap between poor minority children and their more affluent Anglo counterparts. About 58% of Latino third graders and 59% of black students scored proficient or better, compared with 83% for their Anglo counterparts. Of students who receive free or reduced lunch, a barometer used to measure poverty, only 59% passed. About 85% of children whose parents' earnings do not allow them to qualify for free or reduced lunch scored proficient or better. Telluride residents are being asked to lock up their trash and exercise caution as bears are starting to come out of hibernation. The Daily Planet reports that over the past couple of weeks, bears searching for food have knocked over garbage containers in Telluride, and officials have received reports of a large black bear in town. Though bears are not typically nocturnal, they will wait until night to come into town when no one is out to interrupt their garbage eating. During wetter years, bears can usually find what they need in the wildlands, but in dry years, natural food can become scarce. As drought conditions became increasingly severe last summer, many bears were drawn into town to seek food. By midsummer, alleys in Telluride were full of tipped-over trash cans every morning, and the Marshals Department was busy issuing citations and warnings for trash violations. While bears wandering into town have always been an occurrence in Telluride, officials say they have never seen as much activity as they did last summer. With lower-than-average snowpack this spring, it could be another dry summer, and bears could be looking for food in town again. The U.S. Drought Monitor is reporting severe drought in most of the counties on the western slope. To deal with the bear issues, the Telluride Town Council passed a new ordinance this winter that raised the fines for open trash containers. Instead of a $50 fine for the first offense of open trash, it is now $250 and $500 for the second violation. A third violation means a civil summons and a fine between $500 and $1,000. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has not received many reports of bear activity in Colorado so far this year, but they are already cautioning the public about bear safety. Joe Lewandowski, a public information specialist with Parks and Wildlife, said people should make sure they keep their garage doors closed and keep their lower windows closed. For a full list of bear safety tips, the bear facts, if you will, visit their website at wildlife.state.co.us. Said Lewandowski, if people see a bear, it's okay to harass it and throw stuff at it. You don't want to approach it, but make it feel uncomfortable. Because when a bear feels comfortable, that's when they will hang around. Last summer in Telluride, one bear was killed by a wildlife official. More interestingly, Parks and Wildlife reported that statewide 158 bears were killed by the agency in 2012. A press release from Parks and Wildlife states that once black bears have discovered a food source, they may defend it and can become dangerous. Lewandowski said it's still early, and the real bear activity doesn't start until mid-June and July. A Meet the Candidates forum is scheduled for May 15th from 6:30 until 7:30 p.m. at DMEA's Montrose office located at 119-25-6300 Road in Montrose. Six candidates for the board of directors will attend the forum, sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Montrose County. Delta Montrose Electric Association, or DMEA, is a nonprofit electric distribution cooperative governed by a board of directors elected by its member owners. Each year, there is an election to determine the representative from three of DMEA's nine board districts. Maps of each district are available on the co-op's website, www.dmea.com. In District 4, the candidates are Jim Elder and Erica Lewis Kennedy. Incumbent Mike Schrammick is not running for re-election. In District 3, incumbent Ed Marston faces challenger Olin Lund. For the South Region seat, incumbent Tony Prendergast faces challenger Kay Heinschel. Ballots and a summary of each candidate's background are scheduled to be mailed on May 20th to DMEA members who had electric service from DMEA as of April 30th of this year. Voted ballots must be returned by DMEA by mail to DMEA's Election Credentials Committee no later than June 13th, or members can vote in person at DMEA's annual meeting, which this year will be at the Hotchkiss Senior Center, 276 East Main in Hotchkiss, East Main in Hotchkiss, on the morning of Thursday, June 14th, from 8 until 9:30 a.m. That's Flag Day. KVNF will record the forum next week for later broadcast. We understand some residents have been experiencing interruption of their Verizon service and are advised, if so, they should call 866-406-5154 to report the problems. This concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.